So we'll talk a bit about Rosh Hashanah, and right after we speak about Rosh Hashanah, we'll start the subject. We'll talk about Gneivas Das, which Gneivas Das is also a very, very important subject. So first thing, I just wanted to say, you know, thoughts. We were just saying that this year you just left the summer, and you know, it's like it's Labor Day weekend, and 2 days from now we're in Rosh Hashanah. Right? You know, you got to put things into perspective. You know, what's actually happening here. They say the Chafetz Chaim once asked Naftali Trupp, and Naftali Trupp was the Rosh Hashiva in Radin. He asked them for Slichot to get up and say a few words for the shul. So he got up and he said the following thing. He says, "We say Lei v'maisim v'lei b'chesed banu l'fanecha, kedalim v'charoshim d'fakni d'vasecha." We say to Hashem, "Hashem, we knock on your door like poor people." He says, "Why are we knocking on Hashem's door like poor people?" So he said a very beautiful thought. He said, people make a tremendous mistake. People think that in life there are chazakas. You know, it's like, you know, you have different chazakas in life. So you assume, just because last year you had this amount of money in the bank, so this year, you know, it carries over. You'll have the same amount of money in the bank. You're dominating, you should have another couple of dollars. Yeah. But, you know, he says people believe there's a chetkes oisha, there's a chetkes chayim. People believe there are chazakas. He said it's not true. Because the Gemara says in Sefer Rosh Hashanah, Kol Shana, every year, Shehu Rosha B'tchilosa, that is poor in the beginning, Misasheret B'soifa, becomes rich at the end. Shenema Me'reishis Hashanah, Reishis is Rosh, V'yad Achet Shana. He says, what does that mean? So he says, you look at Rashi, Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah, you have to be like a Rosh, right? Tachnimin Yidabe Rosh. You gotta walk in saying, hey, listen, there's nothing to do it. Right, you have to start from scratch. That's how you have to start every single year. I once heard something beautiful. Rav Shach Zecharon Livracha said this by his hesped on the Briska Rav by his Levaya. Oh. Yeah. Oh, Levaya, come in. How are you? Shalom aleichem. Have a seat. I'm telling you the verse from Rav Shach by the hesped by the Levaya. He said a very, very beautiful thought. He said as follows. He said that he went in to visit the Briska Rav, and the Briska Rav was very sick. They went in to visit him, and the Briska Rav says, "No, what's going to be with me? What's going to be?" So he said, "Don't worry about it. You should have bitachon, you'll be fine." That's what he said. "You'll be fine. You have bitachon." As the Gemara tells us, the Yerushalmi tells us, that every Rosh Hashanah we come in batuach badin, right? It says that the difference between the goyim and the yidden are that the goyim, when they have a court case, they walk in with black clothing, right? Because they're afraid. But a yid walks in batuach badin, and we have to simcha on Rosh Hashanah. Why do we have to have simcha? Simcha simply for one reason, because we know that Hashem is going to give us a good year. So that's how we have to walk into Rosh Hashanah. So he said that. To the Briska Rav, he says, "So go into Rosh Hashanah with bitachon. If you have bitachon, you're totally fine." The Briska Rav says, "Bitachon? What does bitachon mean?" Listen, the Briska Rav told him a beautiful chiddush and a very deep understanding in what bitachon actually is. He said as follows. He says, in the davening, we say the following thing. We say, "Im tiyasreni." We say to Hashem, "If you want to punish me, so." Evrach mimecha, I'll run away from you. That's what we say. So Shlomo Eben Jibril, this is one of the beautiful views in Keter Malchut. He says, if you want to punish me, Hashem, it's okay, I'll run away from you. Evrach mimecha, I'll run away from you. Eilecha, back to you. Va'achaste b'tzilcha, and I'll cover myself in your shadow. So the Briska Rav says, think about what we just said. If you want to get me, what am I going to do? I'm going to run away from you, back to you. How do you run away from somebody back to somebody? Does that make any sense? If you take a look in the second Rosh Hashanah, the Pirush HaMishnayis LaRambam, the Rambam writes as follows. He says that on Rosh Hashanah you don't say howl. He writes a very beautiful language. He says, L'fi Shehen Yimei Pachat, the days of fear from Hashem, Im Midrach Imonois Elov, the days of running away and running back to Hashem. So how do you run away, and how do you run back? The Briska Rav said, he says, let me explain to you the pshat. He says, the pshat is as follows. A yid needs to recognize in these days, like we said before, there's no chazakas. There's no guarantees. He needs to recognize that he has a problem. He needs to recognize that the chilul rodo yechezim, that the sakana is there, and how dangerous it is to him, and how serious of a situation it is. Once he recognizes how dire his straits are, then he has the ability to go back to Hashem and says, okay, Hashem, only you can help me. Yeah. But the Biskarov said that if a person doesn't recognize that he has a problem, he doesn't have bitachon. He's just complacent. He's not interested in thinking. He doesn't want to do tshuva. He doesn't want to do anything. So what does he say? He says everything's going to be fine. He says that's not bitachon. That's just simply a ridiculous thought of wasting your time and not doing tshuva. So there's no bitachon involved. So he says that is the pshat. And bitachon in the Rebbeinu Shleim when it comes to Yom HaNeirah. Bitachon in the Rebbeinu Shleim and Yom HaNeirah means that you took the time, you thought about where you're at, what you have to correct, and after you finish that, then you say, okay, now Rebbeinu Shleim, listen, I know there's no way for me to get what I'm really asking for, and now you give me what I actually need. Yeah? I'll just tell you one more thought on Rosh Hashanah. One more thought, and then we'll go to the subject that we want to discuss in the, you know, the chayshimish, but the business halacha we'll discuss. Just a beautiful, beautiful thought. Mr. White, I don't think you've ever heard this chat. This chat, the chat I just said you heard it. I want to tell you something new. This chat is written in the Arizal in Sefer Mekitei Torah. The Mekitei Torah, the Arizal writes this. You know, it's very important because when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, you have to have three things. You have to have Shuva, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. And we know that if you have the Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, so the Ben Adam L'Chaveroi seems to override, right? The Tshuva, the Tefillah, and Tzedakah. The Ben Adam L'Chaveroi is a very overriding factor. So listen to this beautiful thought. This thought is from the Arizal. He says as follows. There's a passage that says, Ki Yipolos L'Chadova, Ben Dom L'Dom, Ben Din L'Din, Yivei Nega L'Nega, Divei Riva Yis B'Sharecha, V'Kamp T'Valis Tel Hamokin. Okay. Tell you a totally new thought. Says as follows. The Arizal quotes a medrash. You gotta hear this is something very interesting. The medrash he quotes is that by the Chavim Beit Hamikdash, the Malachim turned to the Rabbi Yishmael and they said, Hashem, we have a question to ask you. The question we have to ask you is that we know Hashem keeps the Torah. And there are many things that are written in your Torah. There are a few things we know you didn't keep. Let's listen to this list of what Hashem didn't keep. Number one, the first question they asked Hashem is that there's a halacha that says that it's kisi hadam. If you bring a korban, you have to cover the blood. Listen to what that is all right. Hashem says this halacha. When it came to the Chorban Beit Hamikdash, to the Chorban, and there were many Karbonis, and their blood was spilled, Hashem was not mechase al domam. Hashem was not concerned about the Jewish blood that was spilled. That's the first thing the Malachim said to Hashem. The second thing the Malachim said to Hashem was, Hashem, we don't understand. It said in the Torah, Oysoi ves benoi, loy tishchatu b'yoyim echot. You can't check a oisai, espanoi, parent and child in the same day. Right? Hashem, we don't understand. But a chabonis, we find, right? Dam badam nogi, fathers and children, right? And kalavik and kalosa, you read the easy kinis what it says there. So how is it possible? Hashem was oisai, and oisai, espanoi, shkati b'yama. That was the second question they asked Hashem. The third question they asked Hashem was that in the Torah, the halachas of negoyim. And the halachas of Negoyim, we know that Hashem first brings Nigei Batim, and then before he brings Nigei Batim, there are warnings. Ipinu es habayis, you clean out the whole house. And by the Chavim Beis Hamikdash, Hashem didn't give them the opportunity to clean out the house. He just brought the Nega right away, and everything was destroyed with the contents inside. Hashem, how is that possible? Three halachas of the you didn't keep. That's what the Arizal writes. So the Arizal says that the Malachim turned to Hashem, and the Hashem turned back to the Malachim, and Hashem says, I have an answer. I only keep the Torah when there's Ben Adam L'Chaver. When you give my good to each other, when there's no sin of sin, I have obligations. But when you're not with each other, I have no obligation. I'm bound to keep the Torah when you're not good to each other. When you do chesed for each other, good. You don't do chesed for each other, I'm out. And the Arizal writes that that's the type from this pasuk. I mean, you'll hear chat. Marla writes, ki yipole miloshin pele. This is a pele. Mimchadova, something is a pele. What's the pele? You have three questions. The first question the Malachim asked was, Bein Dom, L'Dom. What was the question? How come Hashem didn't do Kitz Yada? Second question was on Halacha Nesayr. What was the second question? Bein Din, L'Din. Oysavet Benoy, L'Shashchati B'yay Lechav. The third question they asked was, Is Hilchos Negoy, Nitinu Esabayim? Ibein Nega, L'Nega. What does Hashem answer? Divrei Vivre Tzisharecha. Because you guys are fighting amongst you. Huh? You want to be guaranteed that Hashem should keep his part of the deal? You just have to be good to each other. That's what it takes. Half the big, this is what the Arizal writes. And he says, that's the end of the pasuk. V'kamta v'arizal hamokim. Where's that? Yerushalayim? There was no groups in Yerushalayim. There was no shevet. Everybody came to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was a chalitim, was shvotim. Everybody had a part of it. When everybody has a part of it, Hashem is in. Huh? Tell me, Clint. What a beautiful verse before Rosh Hashanah to think about. I mean, it's a marvel. Even the key thing of the Arizal, he writes this verse. Absolutely. No, now let's take a look at our subject. We're going to talk about Geneva's Dar. Geneva's Dar is a subject that probably you deal with every day and you don't realize you're dealing with it. And you start to study the different cases. You will not realize how many times a day you actually come up with these shaylos. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Shaylos. All right. I'll give you an example. I'll tell you a story that happened. There was a person that was in a shul, and he went to the back of the shul to get a sefer. He was learning, he went to the back of the shul to get a sefer. When he got to the back of the shul, there was somebody else that came into the shul that he hadn't seen in many years. And the person just happened to have been here from Eretz Yisrael, he came into the shul. So he was really going to get a sefer. He wasn't going to greet this person. So the person, who the guest, looks at him and says, "You're here? You know, you didn't have to. You could have stayed there. You didn't have to. Just because you saw me, you didn't have to come to the back to say hello to me." So what, how would you respond? You respond to me, "I didn't have to, but I did it anyway."
Huh?
Give
him
respect, huh?
Of course.
Make him feel good.
Make him feel good. So you're telling me to make another person feel good?
You're a lot of
fool. Is that what you're telling me? Can you fool to make a person feel good?
But he was under that assumption. You didn't give him that assumption.
Yeah, he's talking to himself. I'm telling you, there's a beautiful story Rav Tam Zechon Lebracha once said over about his mother. Listen to this story. Rav Tam said that they lived in a city in Russia before the war. And his father was a rav in Russia. And eventually he got Jesus to bring the whole family to us. He first went to America himself. Then he got Jesus to bring his family out of Russia. That's what happened with his family. So his father had left to America, but it took quite a few years for all of them to follow. By the time they got to America, it was a period of 5 years. So the there was a woman in the town who had a rich uncle in America, and from time to time sent her money. A stretch of time went by, and no money came. So she didn't know what to do. So she approached her palm's mother, and she said to her palm's mother, "Listen, come in. Where are you?" He approached her palm's mother and she said to her palm's mother, "Listen, do me a favor. Tell your husband, when you have a son with him, he's in America, he should go see my uncle." She figured America is a place that if you have an uncle, you have to know, right? I mean, America, she figured the size of America is not too great. She was in Russia. Russia was a big place. But America, everybody knows each other. So go tell my uncle, his name is so-and-so, that he hasn't sent us money in a while, and we're not doing too long, he should send some money. Alright, so, she wasn't going to argue with the person. She, of course, wrote in the name, let her husband know, and her husband said, "How am I going to find, Goldberg in the United States? That's pretty, broad command, there's no way I'm going to find him." And this the kachava. A while later, this woman was sitting shiva, and a part of the mother went to be Menachem over this woman. And as she walked out, this woman got up and she ran after her Tom's mother and she said, "I want to thank you. You have no idea what you did for me. I just want to thank you. You have no idea what you did." So she says, "What I do? This week the envelope came from America with the money from my uncle. Thank you so much. Your husband gave over the message to my uncle. I appreciate it." So the Tom's mother didn't say anything, but her whole life she would constantly repeat, "Who knows if I did the wrong thing by fooling this woman and not saying the truth," right? I mean, you go through cases one after another where people make assumptions, and you want to know, is it true, is it not true, and could you do it, can't you do it, right? You go to Chasana, right? You go say Mazel Tov, right? What do you usually do? How long do you stay after you say Mazel Tov? Usually you go
to walk out.
It depends. If there's a door in the front and there's a door in the back, right? So what do? So you walk in this way, you say Mazel Tov, you see the guy turns around, you walk around, right? That's what people do, right? Then what they do is, on the way home, after they learn that Meir, they stop it again.
They did the whole time.
Oh, what a beautiful wedding. And then they walk out, right? So you just say, "I'm going to have it now." You have no idea how many questions are. You start to think about it.
Today the video
can tell, huh?
I'm
saying
you
think too.
I went to a wedding, a big wedding. I made
a
point of going to them and make sure he was coming on the first time. There was no shower, I was right in that video. The next morning, I'm in class, I'm going to go to the first step. I said, "How can you possibly know there were 700 people that waiting in your way in class?"
You see that? They go to the camera, you see?
You make sure they take attendance.
You say you pay attendance, exactly. But think about it.
Get a life.
Right. Well, that seems to be a special exception to the cholera, to the lechava bila. It seems to be exceptions. So obviously there are exceptions, but you really have to think them through, because there are a tremendous amount of questions that literally come up on a daily basis. And every time you give a person a compliment, right? I mean, I tell you this one more story that gets right down into the halacha.
Walking into a store just to harass the people.
That's not only Geneva's das, that's a no zvar. If you go into a store, it's a big issue today. People buy things online, and they go into B&H camera just to use a salesman to tell them all the features about the camera. That's a no zvar. Guess what? People do it all the time. Yeah, no, so that's a real issue, right? Yeah. But we have to go through it, because even to make another person feel good, there is a limit. I'll tell you one more story which I saw with my own eyes. Fine, you give me a person a
kizik.
Okay. Listen, we're going to go through a whole Gemara. We'll see just about all of these cases. But I'll tell you a story which I saw. I once went to a certain person for Kiddush in the town. Shabbos after davening, he invited over a whole bunch of friends. And as I'm walking to his house, he says to me, "Rabbi, you're going to see, I have some up my sleeve. It's really, really good." Okay, fine, no problem. I have a trick up my sleeve, I'm pulling on the people. Oh. You can't imagine. I said, "Okay, no problem, let's go take a look." We get into the house, and everybody's enjoying the Kiddush, and people are thanking him, and he had whiskeys on the table, Blue Label, and these names, 27 years old. It was something beyond. And it was like a group that used to make, kiddushim, and they would reciprocate for each other. And the guy said to them, they drank the whiskey, they said, "The whiskey here is something unbelievable. They've never had such good whiskey." They were going to be market type, and they had such praise and thanks for this person. Alright, so I'm walking out, and I didn't drink much whiskey, so I was still, straight. I was about to ask him a question. I said, "So what was the big trick that you pulled off on everybody?" "So I'll tell you the truth," he said. "You saw this bottle of Blue Label. I've been going lately to Kadesh, and I'm collecting bottles. Every time I see an empty bottle, I collect it." They called me into the other room and said, "Here, take a look. You see the empty bottle of Red Label? That's went into the Blue Label."
And the people were just
as happy. Nothing happened. Everything was the best.
Which one was old?
Yeah, it was all the same. Nobody had any problems. No time. Was this person over there? Huh? You think so, right?
Yeah, but I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because
who? Huh?
This is going to have a dark
spot
because you said yourself that it was Achilles.
So the reciprocation.
That guy,
the
reciprocation.
Of course.
So they have a letting name.
Okay. So now I think we're starting to get some of the kolon. Let's go through the Gemaras and let's start to get some of the rules. Okay. Now first, I just want to tell you something. The Aruch Tzaddikim writes that a person that's careful with emes is going to have a long life. I first think I know what he bases that on because the city that the name of the city was Luz. The Gemara says in the Sefer that in Luz nobody ever died. And what happened was, the Zakenim, when they got old, they went out of the city, and that's where they died. Okay, why was Luz Zoychet to that? Does anybody know? Why Luz was Zoychet to that? Take a look, the Zoya has a long discussion. The Zoya says, what's that? Yeah, there's a whole discussion. The Zoya, that Luz was a city, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam predestined that they should be only, he should be able to control, Mahamad can't get in. And the whole discussion, the Zoya, why Hashem didn't make the base of Midrash in Luz. And the Zoya says, because had Hashem made the base Midrash in Luz, then the people wouldn't have a connection to it. So it had to be this kind of a place. But one thing happened, Luz lost its touch. When? When the first person lied. First person lied. That's right. And he said it only for a cover. He didn't want to, he didn't think it would see it. And that's it. And the whole thing was over. So you have to realize that. But it is. There's a precept in Baba Kama. Listen to what the precept says. What's that? Good. I'm about to get to it. I want to get to the details of it. There's a precept, but I want to first just, you should have a feeling what's going on here. Before a person is Mishana, what he's dealing with. There's a precept in Baba Kama. The precept says, Shiva Geneva Tain. There are seven types of ways of stealing. Harishan Sheva Kulam Geneva Das. The highest form of stealing is Geneva Das. If you want to know the explanation, you should read the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah and Shara Tshuva has a discussion on it. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that when you steal from somebody physically. When you Geneva Zaf, you're stealing from somebody's nefesh. That's what the Rabbeinu Yonah writes. So the Geneva Zaf, in a way, is a higher form of stealing. And when it comes to doing Tshuva, it's a harder Tshuva because it's not something that you can usually return once you did Geneva Zaf. Okay? Alright? And now, let's take out the Gemara, and let's see it. Take a look at Chumash. I've got a whole bunch of Gemaras. Keep out as many Gemaras as you can. Tadik Dalet Amud Aleph. Right? You know, you ever go to a store, you see a 50% sale? Who has a retail store? What does a 50% sale mean? 50% off your retail price. But they first double the price, and they charge the assets, right? Huh? How do you, and when people do that, it's going to end as that? I've seen that happen already. People do a 50% sale, so they double the price and they charge you 50%. I've seen stores.
They double the retail.
Double the retail, they charge you 50%.
You think you're paying retail less 50. In fact, you're paying double retail less 50, which means you're paying retail.
How do you do that?
Because Geneva. They raise the prices in order to make it sale. See, the truth is, that's clearly Geneva. There's no question about it. But in business, you have better questions. There are times that you have people in business that you know, they always fight with you for the price. Now, certain people come in, and if it's a fair price, they give it to you. There are some people, in their nature,
they have to bargain.
Yeah. That's the nature. Whatever you tell them, they're going to go the other way. So that's the place can discuss that in this type of case already, there is a heter. Why in this kind of case is there a heter already? Because in this kind of case, what's happening is, you're going to give him the fair price, but you know that he needs by definition to feel he got a better deal. You understand? I haven't been a terrorist. Some people only settle after I explain to them what could have gone wrong. That's some people, they have that feeling, you know, that's their nature. So the Gemara talks about a very classic question. The classic question the Gemara speaks about is, historically, when you had a barrel of wine, the barrel of wine used to be a huge barrel of wine, like a 50-gallon barrel, right? What would happen every time you opened the barrel? You had to finish the wine within the next, day or two. It would go sour. The wine was a day or two old. It wasn't good. So they had a chavetz of yayin. So how often did you open a chavetz? When you made a big party. But you never opened a chavetz if a single person came into your house. So the Gemara discusses the following question. The Gemara discusses, are you allowed to open up this, let's say I know I'm making a big simcha tonight, I'm making a bar mitzvah tonight, and I'm going to have in the shul, I'm going to have 100 people over. I have a barrel of wine, I'm opening for tonight. That afternoon, somebody comes to my house. You're here for you, because I'm an Adam Chashiv, we open a big bottle of wine. But you realize, by opening it, you're ruining the rest of it. You're here, I'm going to open up the barrel of wine. So you open it up, and you give him a cup, and he feels great. That's the case that the Gemara deals with, and the Gemara says that this case is Geneva Stata. Alright? The Gemara also talks about a case when you sell a piece of meat to Goyim, and you sell to him as being kosher, and it's really not kosher. It's really trade. So the Goy owes you a Taivat HaNoah. Why does he owe you a Taivat HaNoah? Because you gave him a piece of meat. But if he knew you gave him something that he can't really eat, he doesn't really owe you that much. So again, you're getting more return than you're really giving. But that's also a case the Gemara deals with that I can even stop. So take a look at the Gemara. Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. Alright?
That's always happened. You give a gift, the people don't know the value of it. You think it's more.
Okay, then we'll see soon in the Gemara. If they think it's more, that's their headache.
Right.
But you can't set them off to fool them. You can't set them off to fool them. I'm going to get that's very important, the point you just mentioned. If whose mistake it is, and who set who up, and how easy is it to make the mistake. Those are the three different issues we need to look at. But again, I'll read the Gemara, and then we'll be able to take the whole subject and summarize in halacha. The Ben Hashem at the end, everybody can walk out with a solid understanding in the halachas of Gnei Bezah. That's exactly what I want to do. Give me a few moments, okay? The Gemara says as follows. On the top of the page, the Gemara, the Iba Yisema, Mishim the Kogonav Lei Ledatayu. When you sell the piece, and he thinks that you did Nikra and Gitanash, whatever the case is, you're doing Gnei Desas. So Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel tells us, also Ligna Das Abriya, you now want to do Gnei Desas, Vafila Daitin Shal Oiva Kechavim. Now I want everyone to listen very well, because Be'ezus Hashem, next week, I want to do a few very important shiurim. I want to do next week a shiur on Gnei Des Akim, Tos Akim, Avedis Akim. Right? Those are very, very important subjects for anybody that deals with anything out in the world. They still need to answer these questions. So, one thing you see clearly, and we'll talk about Einoas Akim, those are different subjects I want to discuss. Clearly you see, your name is Das of a guy, Asur. Nothing to talk about. It's a Gemara, I just read it to you. And you have a whole lot of Gemara that deals with your name is Das that originated from a guy. Alright, now, skip down a few lines. Tanya Hoy Remeya Oima. Right? You see it by with a little dalet. Tanya Hoy Remeya Oima. How you sarev odom lechaveri lifted et. Right? The Gemara gives a whole bunch of examples of Gnei Desas. Don't push a friend to eat by you. The idea, boy, you know clearly, chain of toys. You know there's no chance he's coming. You know already he's invited to eat by somebody else for lunch. What's that?
What is it? Join us,
right?
And if you don't mean it,
Ma'asim b'chol yom. You can't invite a person to eat by you if you intend. There are exceptions to the rule. Again, I'll tell you what the possible exceptions are. The Rav Shavanarach discusses this halacha, by the way, and he says as follows. We'll see soon that there's an exception. One of the exceptions is that they kavod, that there's a certain basic respect you have to give to every person. So some. Yeah, that's what he says. So sometimes, if a person comes to the shul, and after the meal, the davening, you don't invite him, then you insult him. Because well, a person was here, and you didn't invite him to come join you. So the basic invitation, if it's not to give him an insult, that's okay. That would be the exception. On the other hand, the Rav Shachnach says, you can't overdo it, because if you keep on being persistent, then he thinks you really mean it. You understand? So, you could sort of throw that at a person if the intention simply is that you don't want to insult him by that it should be considered that he came into the community and you didn't invite him in. But then you invite him even if you know he has where to eat. But if you make a major deal out of it and you're really pushing it and he says, oh, this person really means it, that's already not allowed to do. You hit a distinction. So that's the Yisarev is a lotion of persistence. Right? When Yisarev, other. The idea, but he knows, she'ed is toyed, so he doesn't intend to come to him. The loyar loy betakroivis, the yedei loy she'ed is mekabel. Right? He offers him all kinds of different things, and he knows he's not going to take it. The loy yiftach loy chaviyin ham mechuroi lechemvini. What does that mean? That means you have a barrel, and the barrel is sold, which means you know the chemvini is coming today. So you know it's the barrel's being opened today, because it's all going to be distributed today. Now's a great opportunity to open the barrel of wine and give service to somebody. That you're also not allowed to do. Elim kein hoidia. You need to notify him. What do you have to tell him? I want you to know that this barrel of wine is a sold barrel of wine. That you're allowed to do. V'leyoy v'leyoy teich shemen. Here, you have this, you know, there are people go around the shul in our communities. I don't know if they have this by you. It's called a shmektabek. You know what a shmektabek is?
Yeah, I have it also.
Huh?
They have it.
That's a tabek fishka. Tabek means it's a box. A fishka in Yiddish is a box that they put in tobacco.
They call it like a shmek.
That's what they call it?
Shmek.
And they have it too?
Yeah.
They have it too. There's a whole discussion. Mr. Brewer, you make a bracha. Now, we pass you don't make a bracha. Because the reyach is not an original reyach, it's only a reyach that we put into,
put perfume in it.
Yeah, Mishabur is a whole long discussion, we don't make a bracha on it. On the old shul, on Yom Kippur, when as a child, everybody walked around the shul. No, the person had an estrig with the summons into the estrig, right. But that's, by the way, a different Indian. Besides the Indian of revived giving a person Hanoh, it was another Indian. The Indian was because you have to have made a bracha. You can't not make a bracha. So Yom Kippur, you're supposed to do extra, you have an extra besamim, you need a few extra brachas in Yom Kippur, there's no benefit. Yeah, so that's one of the reasons they do it. So a person walks around with a tabak fish, can attempt it. He has nothing there. But he knows this person will never take anyway, but the person has that courage to take. And similarly, they used to walk around then for the chashuvim, in the Beis Medrash, they used to take around a thing of oil, and you know, because they used to sort of smear oil on themselves. Here, safely shaman, go take some oil and smear it on you. But really, your bottle is empty. But you know, this gentleman never takes the oil anyway, so it's a good opportunity to offer it to him. So, v'lo yoyma safely shemi pachreikam. Now, here's the line. V'im b'shvil kvoidai, but if the purpose is that you have to give the person a certain respect, mutter is mutter. Okay, so now here we have one exception to the rule. So exception one to the rule is that you're doing it for the person's respect. You're not doing it for reciprocation. All right, that's the first possible exception to the rule. That would basically not have a lot of the problem with compliments. Mm-hmm. But compliments usually won't be an issue because usually you're saying it only to give the person respect. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, when your intention is to get something out of the deal, it's not going to help you. Right? But it's not a compliment, but rather than trying to get something, it's not going to help you. Okay.
So complimenting the buyer because you want to make the sale,
right,
to buy something, but you don't really mean it.
You want to tell him how good he looks and how well dressed he is and all of that, right?
Anything about that?
Absolutely not. I mean, that's their chasechem, really. That's really part of doing business. That's the way they do
business. We need to draw a line between chanufa and the compliment.
Well, how do you draw the line between kind of fun and a compliment? I think there's one thing we said before, even in this Gemara. When you do flattery, your intention is to get something out of it. Flattery, your intention is to get something out of it. When you're giving a compliment, the compliment is more of a situation that you compliment the person, that person should feel good. In Muslim Kfoydeh, the Gemara was not there. That was not for yourself, that was for the other person. You know, Simon said before, Kawan Ova Hasida. Right? You're being the Chavavar al Bailas. There's nothing wrong with that. But there again, it's a mitzvah. Exactly. Alright, there's all Taz, how much you can lie, to what extent, you know, whatever. You know, there are Gedorim and those halachas too. But wait, we're going to see a whole bunch more halachas before we can summarize this specific subject. Go ahead. Yeah.
Somebody who bought already an item, he told him that you have a beautiful suit.
Right.
He has something that's better. He already purchased it, wedding it again. So you have to give him something to make him feel good.
So that's
the same comparison, comparable with the kala.
Right.
He already did the deal already. So even though she's limping,
right,
so he said it's beautiful.
So what's the parameters in a kibbutz? where do you draw the line?
You can say
everything is impeccable though.
Okay, you can say everything is impeccable. So take a look. Take a look.
Don't get something out of it.
Yeah, the mistake, if you're expecting something back, in other words, you're going and you're making the person feel like you're giving kippur. But again, it's not the only parameter. We're going to see some more exceptions. I'm about to get to that. You're giving the person something because, see, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Mitzvah kvoidoi shel oireich oireich is a guest lo yidia lebriya shechavav hu olav." You want people to know that used to go to the nichem avelim. The nichem avelim, if you're going to adam chash, if they went to an adam chash, they all have to bring oil and all kind of tamim and all type of things. They didn't use it, because the reason they didn't use it was because there was plenty there, and they didn't need what the people bought. But it was a respect to say, this person is such a prestigious person that I'm going to walk into him carrying something. So that was the appropriate way to do it. You know, you have to also see society, but I guess, look, if the whole intention is because you want something but you don't need it, so then of course that's coming.
But encouragement.
That's Simon went a step further, which is an interesting point. You have a person doing your business with, and your whole intention is to just get the business out of them. And you really, really know that they look like they just walked out of a car wash wearing their suits, right? And they creep and look like they slept in their suits. And you say, oh, you have such a beautiful suit today.
Right.
You better not. So the question is that's a derech ha-soichem in a deal that you're supposed to say a nice thing to a person. So then other rabbis, it's a good thing to say a nice thing. Or you know, listen, you know, the poskim all right that if it comes to a person's wife and he needs to give a compliment and he doesn't mean the comment, you should do it. There's no question about it. To make a person feel good, you know. You know, the Vilna Goyen, Victor Miller said the story, the Vilna Goyen once went to a person's house, and the woman served him supper, and the Vilna Goyen was so repulsed by the food that he walked out of the room to throw up. He came back, he ate more, again walked out, threw up again, came back, he finished, and he got up and thanked her how delicious it was. I mean, you see the Madrega person? You never want to insult a person. But on the other hand, once you're getting into getting personal interest by saying certain comments to people, that already, you know, it can become an issue. Okay, so let's take a look at the next Gemara here. Let's continue. So the Gemara says, Einu, Ein is not true. Va'ula ikul lebein Rav Yehuda poskei chovei tamachus lechemri oidia mechemri. So he went and he opened the barrel for him. So how could he do that? So the Gemara says, the idea, he notified him. He said, listen, I'm opening it, but I want you to know I have a big customer coming today, so I have to open it anyway. V'ibay seina, shame ula, the chovei lebein Rav Yehuda de belafo chinami pitzich and mishtach leif. So now the Gemara gives another exception to Gneda Tzav. If you have a person that's big enough, listen to this, that you would have done it for him anyway. You would have gone out and spent $300 on the whole barrel of wine, and for this person, it's worthwhile to open a fresh barrel of wine. But it so happens to be that later today, what's happening? I have a big party. So I'm really not spending the money two times. Then already you're allowed to let the person think you did it for him. Why? Because you really would have done it for that person anyway. Okay? Another very important exception to the subject of David that you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, every one, Reish Chav Ches, Sivvav, Zion, Til Yud Beis, every one of these exceptions are mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechab pretty much rules like every one of them. That's why usually I would take the Shulchan Aruch to show it to you. It's literally like we're reading the Gemara, and I'll read soon Tosfot, how he reads the subject. The Mechab follows every last one of those in Halacha. Now take a look at the next Gemara. Okay? They used to go to the house of the Yovel, if it was a person who they owed something to, they would carry big bottles, and they were full, and miskashkit, it was shaking. It was really full of water. There's no wine in there, there's nothing good to drink, this water. Because you're fooling him. But if it's the type of person that everybody needs to sort of come and carry something to show the person respect, then again, he's allowed to do it. Another example of Gneva Tzav. Layimkar Adam Lechaveiro, a person is not allowed to sell to his friend Sandal Shel Nesa, the skin of a dead animal that was a Nevela, Rechlal Shel Chai, Shchita, if they based on for two reasons. Echad Bnei Shemateo, number one, because he's fooling him, Echad Bnei Asakona. the law you because it was psychotic, because it died, who knows what disease it died from. The law you shag or mechaveri, a person shouldn't send their friend chavas shal yayin, a jug of wine, the shemen stuff al pia, and really there's no wine in there, he just put some oil on top, floating, and it looks like it's wine below. It might do with such a story. He says, oh great, I have a big barrel of wine and I can invite guests. And what happened? Because they didn't have the food to serve them. Okay, so everybody at this point has the idea of what Geneva's Das is. So far we have one big exception. What's the big exception? The big exception is that it's a very prestigious person. That's the exception so far. Okay, let's turn over the page and let's see a very, very important Gemara on the other page. And after we read this Gemara in the Tosfos, we'll be able to summarize and really understand the sugya very well. So who's collecting all the money here for Yantif? What happens when you have a peel of the shul? So a person makes an announcement that he gives a fortune of money, but he doesn't intend to give it because he just lost all his money. But he intends to get all the other rich guys to give.
They do that. Sometimes they ask you in places if you stay and don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be on the list. So the yeshiva has a right to put you in the gold page or this page because then they don't have to disclose. But he's saying a number. This might can't be worse.
I'm talking about. That's a little option sometimes. Tell a person, no, don't worry, you know.
But, you know, but they say the yeshiva would give you a high page. High page.
No,
what do they say?
You
tell me
how's the
day.
Yeah.
No, it's the name of
that? It is the
name of that.
That's Gnevis Das. For sure, right? The only thing is that's a little interesting because Gnevis Das for a mitzvah.
Right.
But no, that's the question, huh?
No, but let's
say,
I
didn't say you're allowed to do it. It's not so simple. I don't think you're allowed
to do it. You have to tell the time when you know someone is going to have to see a chavis.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Because how many times does it happen that a person says, I'm going to bid, and then the person turns to him and says, it's yours this year, after you bid him up? If it's a legitimate bid, you're allowed to. We're talking about a different
question. No, it doesn't matter. It's not legitimate.
It's not legitimate. That's the question we're talking about. Every person that put in a bid has an obligation to pay his bid. Yeah, we don't rule it in that way, but you make it close.
Because
like a nether with a duck, that's what he says. So even
he got no one else.
What?
Doesn't matter. He's going on, I didn't get it, so what should I think?
I'm telling you, an auction shul for an aliyah, that's what you're out. So, it's interesting, but there, I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to just focus on our subject here. Let's take a look at this subject here. Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. Turn over the page now. Turn over the page towards the bottom of Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. He says as follows. Here we go. Rabashia, Gezeirah Shem Yimkrenu B'Fnei Yisrael. Hey, Machrizam. The question is, how do you sell a piece of meat to a goy? You have one concern, you're going to sell it back to the Yid. You have an Amr of Yitzchak. By Yosef Nachal Bitzdul B'Fnei Chayla. You make an announcement that the meat ended up by the goyim. The layman offered treifa to the goy. Why don't you say a treifa went to the goy? Lo davni, because the goy won't buy it then. But you're fooling him. in Ihud Kamatin Ashayot. Now the Gemara says a very important point. And the point the Gemara says is, listen to this, because this is the most important Yitzchayt in Genev and Sa'af, with two other points that we're going to say. And then you'll be able to look back, you'll be able to apply the answers to just about any question. Genev and Sa'af is now a fool person. But if the person goes and fools himself, that's his own headache. Like, let's go to that case by the Hasana. Right? You walked into the Hasana, and then you walked out, and then you came back. Right? So, he says to you, "No, so nice, you were here to the wedding. So nice, thank you so much." So you say, "Yeah, my pleasure." You whatever, you bought, right? But if you walk into the wedding, and you know you're going to be there for 2 minutes, and you say, "Oh, I'm going to dance up a storm, right?" So that's the name of that. If he fools himself, so that's his own headache. But you can't fool him. Okay, that's rule number one. He heard, that encourages the following story. Have a causal meet, and I want to just read this Gemara in the Taisa, because it's one way you say it, and then literally we can go back and answer all the questions. Mazitra, Vereder of Nachman, have a causal meet, Sichra, Lebe, Mechuzah. They were traveling. Vereder of Safra, have a causal meet, Sichra. They were going the other way. Pogadadi, they met. Sovla, after who they saw us. They thought that was, oh, thank you, the welcoming committee came out of the city to come greet us. Alu, Lamalamu, the Rabbonim, the Sichra, the Osi, Kili, Hai. Rabbonim, why did you travel all the way out to come see me? It was unnecessary. You could have waited. We've come into town. Amalei of Safra, and not only have Yadin in the Kosima, we had no idea you were coming. You have Yadin in Tvei, have a Tachina. Had we known, we were not even first. Amalei of my time, Amalei Hochin. Why did you say this for? So he says, Achlish Ladatin, because he would feel terrible if he. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to correct you. Go back. Amalei, he said, and now we have Yadin in the Kalsimar. We had no idea that you were coming. You have Yadin in Tvei, but had we known you were coming, Tvei Adachim, we'd go even further. So only Rama, my time, Muhammad Lai Hoki, why do you have to say this? Why just accept it? Okay. Achlistu that time, you made him upset. Amalei, Behokam Adin Ali. What do you say? But we're fooling him. He says, no. He is going and he's fooling him. Okay.
He's fooling himself that
he thought I'm coming to welcome him, and I wasn't.
Yeah, but that's fine if he would have not said anything. But once you say now, I would have gone even further.
I shouldn't have said anything. When you said to me, why did you come out here to welcome me? I should have said, so nice to see you. It's just so nice to see you. Because nice to see
but
you if I did come with you.
I would have gone even further if I would have.
No, because you
know. No, he said that, and this is his response. His response was. He said, I didn't come to see you. I didn't know you were coming. But it also happens to me that I would have gone further. It's a good comeback, you know, but like, it doesn't work if you know what I'm saying. The bottom line is, he should have ignored it. Right? That's the question. Okay. Tysus says a very important point here, and I want you to read the Tysus, because Tysus discusses, till now we already said that when the person fools himself, it's allowed. Why suddenly here is there a disagreement over this subject, that the Safa reprimanded him, is why did you say what you said? Tysus says as follows, okay? He says, look at Tysus, in the Kamata Nafshayu, the last two lines, L'kach nira, the hosta b'stam, v'osam b'shin b'ein l'oireyach, ma'asika adaita z'mechuris l'chendani. That's a beautiful question. There's a problem with the sugya. We said you're not allowed to open a barrel of wine, only if you tell him, I'm opening it anyway to have a party later. Why do I have to tell him? Let him go and let him eat atan akshayo. He fooled himself. That's the question I just asked. Taisus says it's a tremendous distinction. When I'm in the front of the shul, I walk in the back of the shul to get a sefer, and it just so happens to be that somebody just walked in to the back of the shul, and he says, oh, it's so nice you came to the back of the shul to see me, I can let him fool himself. But on the other hand, a barrel of wine that costs $300, there's nobody in the world that would open it up, except if, one of two things, I'm making a big party, well, a person is a very caution of a person. So this situation on its own is so misleading, and it's not easy to come back on Afshayu. There's no other way to read the story. Then I have an obligation to notify. the Mechaben Shulchan Aruch rules this way. So let's go to the rules. The rules are as follows. If you fool another person, never allow. I guess except Lefnei Kivoyde. Right? So let's take apart out Kivoyde for a second. You can't fool another person. Rule number two, if the person decides to fool himself, right? Go ahead. Story with his mom's mother, with the uncle in America. You want to fool yourself, right? But what happens when there's a situation that there's no other way to read the situation, because the situation is so misleading, then what's the halacha? Then I have an obligation to notify. No, you hit it, close. Those are the halachas in Geneva's Dab of another person. How about my blue label story? Okay or not okay?
Why?
No. Absolutely not.
Oh, wait, no, because he's going to have an obligation.
No, but you misled him. You can't do an action to mislead a person.
No, you're going
because of the second reason. You're going because of the reason is because there's no way of reading the situation. You don't imagine anybody did so. I'm going for the first reason I said. Even when he's fooled by Gnei Vazah, that's okay. It has to be that he got fooled. You can't do a double shekel to mislead another person. Remember, the rules are, number one, you can't fool the other person. He has to fool himself. And once he has to fool himself in the type of situation that's possible to read the situation both ways, and just so happens to be that he fooled himself, then he can't say it, but you can let him fool himself. You understand? That's the basic gist of the halacha. Once we have that, you can pretty much apply just about any case that we discuss. But it's between this Gemara and this Tosfos. You look at it in the Shulchan Aruch, this is pretty much how it's said. Let's do one more try. You know, somebody told me an interesting question. To somebody that loves to buy herons. Do you ever know what a heron is? It's a very nice China dish.
Yes.
That people, H-E-R-A-N-D. It's made in Hungary. H-E-R-A-N-D is made in Hungary. So he showed me that these type of dishes are very expensive. You go into the store, the local store, here you'll pay a couple hundred dollars for one of these dishes. So he was in Hungary recently. And in Hungary he bought it for much, much cheaper. So he figured, look, it's a great opportunity. And buy it for gifts. So everybody's going to receive it. And everybody's going to take a look at it. And everybody's going to say, wow, we bought you such an expensive gift. Okay or not okay? Absolutely fine. So wait till his next question. His next question is that he can put on a price tag. It's the price that is here. No, you're misleading him. Yeah? So I bet that's the assignment.
I see the forget purpose in this.
What's that?
The forget purpose.
Yeah, he wants to put on the price tag.
Why?
He's fooling him. Once you're fooling him, you're not going to do it.
Really, the original price is worth this kind of money, but it's on sale.
No, you buy it on sale and you give it to the person and let him think that you paid the full price.
Okay, so.
But you can't put on the price. Oh, if you bought it.
Yeah.
When it was $100,
but
so you always you want to take off the second sticker and it says 50% off and leave on the first sticker. No. All right, got it.